you've directed, like, other things, but this is your actual first feature, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
First feature to direct.
So, now that you've done it, did you...
But I'm so bossy. I'm so bossy on set, it felt like I directed thousands of features. Give me that camera. You don't know what you're doing.
You know, why didn't you give yourself a role in this?
Hello, I asked myself the same question. Really, I have this terrible habit of when I write things, I forget to write myself a role. And then when I'm done, and, you know, a la the old typewriters, I pull the piece of paper out and I go, wait a minute. Yeah, it's a problem I have. So I just gave myself a little Alfred Hitchcock cameo. I'm in the game room playing air hockey when the captain makes an announcement.
Ah, okay.
But you know what I did? I did take the role of the voice of the ship.
Oh.
That was going to be a female voice, and then I decided that I would play it, so it was still a female voice. No, seriously, like, people, they're like, so who played that? What lady? I'm like, yeah, it was me. But, you know, the voice of the ship, she, I like that it's androgynous. I don't like that I'm androgynous. But no, anyway, she'll just announce everything. So she'll be like, elevator doors opening. You know, and it's just sort of like, why? Why are you telling us everything that's happening?
That was good, though. That sounds excellent.
Thank you. Well, I mean, I played the role. I had to beat out many actresses for that role.
You know, I could see you getting the gig for the crosswalk people.
Oh, I'd be perfect at that. And it would just be like, walk. Now run.
You've got 3 seconds.
That's right. You've got 3 seconds. You can make it. Oh, don't worry. Ignore that red hand. Go.
You know,
that's what I do.
You've got this, like, really, really great cast. Did you know most of them beforehand? Or, like, were they mostly friends? Or
what do you think my life is? God, no.
These fabulous parties you go to, and, you know.
Yeah. Keep imagining, because I like that. I like that image. That's fun. No, well, you know what? I did know Patrick because I met him through a friend, and we did go to the same school, but years apart. And, but no, Matt, I'd met him before, but we weren't friends, and Liv, I'd never met, but I was just a huge fan. Jerry O'Connell, I had worked with, I just adored him. I got lucky, but it's not, you know what it is, I just got all the nicest, most talented actors, and the reason why is because it was a small movie, so everybody who was on that set acting was there because they wanted to be. So it was just the loveliest atmosphere, and everybody was just really kind and gracious and there to do good work.
Now, when you cast these people, they don't have to audition, right? They just say, yeah, I'd love to be in it. Or how does that work?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, they didn't have to audition because their work is their audition, what they've done in the past, and I was a huge fan of all of them. And you know, it was a dream come true that they agreed to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine, yeah.
But what I love is, too, even though I was such a fan of their work, I do feel like all of them were doing things they hadn't necessarily done on film before. You know, and especially Patrick, he never gets to do comedy. You know, he had mentioned to me that he can't, you know, when he does comedy, it's usually because a friend, you know, put him in the role. Because for some reason, even though he's like the funniest guy in Hollywood, it's not his reputation. But hopefully this will change that. And what I love, too, is that he's so funny in the movie, but it's so real and so filled with pain. But I feel like everyone in the movie is playing that. They understand that it is a dark comedy, but it's, you know, it's also very real, and so everybody's giving these, like, deep performances that are also just super funny, the way life is so horribly funny in a tragic sense.
Yeah. You know, you're right about Patrick. I saw him in a movie, I forgot the name of it, with Judy Greer, and where he played this kind of huge...
It's called Barry Monday.
Right.
Yeah.
He was hilarious in that. I don't know why, and he's hilarious in this, and I don't know why he doesn't get more like, comedic roles. You're right.
Yeah, well, I guess it's the way that a careers flow. I started only doing comedy in LA, and now for some reason I only do drama, but it comes back around, and I think that I would love if this role helps people to see him in a new light.
you know, you told a story about how you wrote the script, but you said you gathered some friends together at your house and improv for like 3 months.
Yeah.
So how does that work? Like, do you like come up with scenes and say, I want to think about a scene where it would go in this part of the script? How'd that go?
Yes. Well, that is exactly how it worked. Is that I conceived this idea. I invited these incredible actors to my house. Jennifer Elise Cox, Sam Pancake, Kali Rocha, Mike Stoyanov, and you know, I explained the world of it and some of the characters that I envisioned, and yeah, I sort of directed them through improv. So I'd say, you know, okay, well, let's get the wife and her husband in a scene. Let's see sort of how they deal with each other when he's horny and she isn't, you know. And then we would do the scene, and I would record it. And then I would type out, and this is exactly how they did Forest Line. Like, I would type out the best bits, hand it back to them the next day, and then we would do the scene again, improving around those lines that we knew we liked. And that's how scenes grew. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it does.
You know, but each person added, you know, each person really created these incredibly interesting and, like, emotional characters, and that had, you know, these rich backstories, and we were all going for the same kind of humor, which was, you know, this humor that felt very real, and where all the jokes were based in character or character-driven comedy, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, and then it just became a play organically that way. But, you know, the play wasn't the movie. There was a lot of work that had to be done, so, yeah, that's how it happened.
Now, do you prefer that, like, that way of sort of crafting the story, as opposed to, like, sitting down by yourself and, like, you know, in front of your iPad or iMac, whatever you write
on? I've done both, and I think they're both great. It's probably a little more fun to have more people involved. But, you know, I love writing with my comedy partner, Seth Rudetsky. It's just fun to have somebody else in the room to bounce things off of. For me, so I guess I would say anytime I'm able to write with other people, whether it's through improv or just, you know, sitting together in a room at a keyboard, it's probably a little more fun. I get lonely, and writing is, and it takes a long time.
Yeah,
it's a long process.
Hey, you've done this, and you're writing, but is sort of your sort of main deal, your main passion, acting still? Or, like, what is it? Like, what would you prefer, you know?
Well, I think I'm here to be just a joyful creator. I love creating things. And I think acting is a way to create things where it's the most immediately satisfying, because all you need to do is jump up in front of people and do something, and there, you've acted and you've created something. So it's immediately satisfying. But I love directing as well. It's just, it takes so long, you know, but the journey is satisfying as well, because in directing you get to work with so many people of so many varied professions, and you get to learn so much about set design, and I've learned so much about VFX through Billy Brooks, my supervisor, and you know, you learn about what a producer does, so it really just charges different sides of your brain, different parts of your brain when you're directing. So that's also satisfying. But I guess acting is still my favorite. But they're all fun as long as I'm creating.
Since the film, did it premiere at South By?
Yeah.
Since then, what were you doing from then until now, like, to get it out to the masses? I mean, like, did you have to go, like, meetings with executives and all this, like, things that I don't think I'd ever want to do?
Why don't you want to meet with executives? They're the funnest people in the world.
Oh, yes.
They stare at you with those lifeless eyes who judge you. No, I'm kidding. Not all executives are like that. Well, you know what? I'm just so happy that the product was such that we sold it quite quickly to Sony. And, you know, there was some deal-making and figuring out exactly how that would look. But, you know, as soon as I sold the movie to Sony, it's not really my movie anymore. I don't own it anymore, you know? So anything I'm doing is sort of the pesky next-door neighbor who just wants to help. And you're sort of like, okay, look, I'm making this cake. I don't need any of your flour or eggs. But nonetheless, I am really trying to help out with publicity and get the word out. It's a small movie, so there's not a huge advertising budget. But there wasn't a lot to do once Sony bought it, which was a dream come true and the best you could hope for as a filmmaker.
Are you actively working on something else?
Absolutely, absolutely. But right now I am just doing everything I can to help get the word out and share the movie with people I respect and get the word of mouth going in a grassroots kind of way. As while Sony is doing it, we've got Patrick Wilson doing an interview. He did Watch What Happens Live this week. He's doing an interview with Seth Meyers on the 23rd. So there's all this incredible, exciting publicity happening right now.
Well, I like the movie.
And it's amazing. It's like, I appreciate that. It's like your baby grows up and leaves the nest, and as a proud mom, proud dad, you send it some money for its birthday, you call it every once in a while, but it's been amazing to watch it go out in the world and be discovered by critics and the people who wonderful reviewers who really get it and quote get it and enjoy it. And it's been amazing. And by the way, I truly appreciate you saying that, and thank you. It means a lot to me.
Oh no, yeah. I mean, I would probably beat around the bush or something if I didn't like it. But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. I love it, too.
Yeah, you're an acting coach, right, as well?
Teaching actors is a hobby. I started as a way to give back to people and to feel good about who I am. And I don't charge much, and everything I teach, I put on a free book that actors can read online. But I do love helping actors because they are, they're so abused. I do think that some of the biggest acting coaches in LA are the absolute most abusive, and it's really heartbreaking. And I didn't know this until I started working coaching actors, because they would come to me and tell me these horrible stories that were just unbelievable. But whereas I teach an approach to acting that I use, and it books work, and it's a loving, joyful, very easy approach to acting that reminds actors that, hey, it's just playing pretend, and there's no right way to do it, and some of your favorite actors on your favorite TV shows never trained, and if you ask them why not, they'd say, well, why would I?
Right.
And I'm not saying I don't believe in training, but you got to hit a point where you're done, and as an artist, your job is not to study, but to act, and when you're acting, you grow as an actor. Anyway, I don't mean to lecture.
Oh, no, please, please do. You have a really lovely website, too. I especially like your New Thoughts for Actors section.
Yeah, that's that free book. There's 40 short chapters on there that actors can read. It's at jackplotnick.com, and you just click on New Thoughts for Actors. And it's all there. I also lecture once a month, and all the money goes to charity. And I teach, and it's always free to watch, but it's not very expensive. I teach when I have time, but, it's been... I've just been very busy in the last year with the musical and the movie, so I haven't had as much time to do that.
You're in a show, right? Or upcoming show? Or...
Well, I'm bringing my musical to Broadway next summer, and we're raising funds now. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I co-wrote and directed a musical that we ran off Broadway earlier this year. It got wonderful reviews, called Disaster.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, the 1970s disaster movie musical with all hits from the 70s. All hit songs from the 70s, yeah. So that's something else I'm doing. I've also got a couple other things that I'm working on, and I'm still auditioning, and I just did an episode of Major Crimes, and I'm never going to stop acting. I would just, the dream would be to create a show, to create a show or a film that I'm actually in. Like, that's kind of my next... That would be a lovely thing to do. As you started the interview, like, why don't you write yourself a part? Yeah.
Right. Now, the show, the musical, are you actually going to be in it, or are you just, like, one of the creator?
I'm the creator, but I do plan to be in it. I don't know that I'd open the show, because, directing a Broadway musical is... It's a huge feat, and I think I'd like to just focus on directing for it. And then there is a role that I can play, and I'm sure I'll play it someday. But and I played it off Broadway for about a month. But no, I won't open the show in the role.
Well, I'll make sure when, because I go to New York a couple times a year, so I'll make sure when it opens, I will go see the, when you're in it.
Okay, that's awesome.
I'll only see it.
Thank you.
And then just, I have one more question. What is?
Oh, no, I'm not in a rush.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, but go on.
Well, what is the worst audition you've had, ever had?
Boy, oh boy. You know, it's been a long time since I've had, like, oh, I've got it. This is terrible. This is terrible. And what happened was that I can't grow a mustache, but I do love a good mustache. So once in a while, I will just glue one on. And you know, I always have anxiety about, well, should I tell them I glued this on, or is that just going to be weird? Should I not bring attention to it? You know, so I went to an audition, and I'm wearing the mustache, and the audition, okay, so I walk in. I remember that the casting director, she says to me, I want to get this right. Uh-huh. She says, is that mustache for a role or for your life? And my brain just short-circuited because I didn't know like what that meant. And I said, it's for a role. And then as a joke, because I was so sort of, because when I said it's for a role, everybody just stared at me and I was so confused. What's happening? What are they thinking? Do they know it's real? I had no idea. And so completely out of this completely anxiety-ridden spot, my brain just put together this stupid sentence. And I said, yeah, it's for a role, but... something like, but I do have, pardon me, I have a bug on me. Okay, so it's for a role, but I have a hair lip, so it comes in handy. I think I said something horrible like that, and I'm ashamed I said, but it was just a really bad, stupid joke.
Uh-huh.
And just everything got really silent and weird, and the woman goes, oh my gosh, my father had a hair lip. Casting director says, oh no, my father had a hair lip. And then I went, and then I remember I murmured, I'm just joking, it's fake. Point is, it was like, yeah, it was like, it's like the worst thing that could ever happen. And then the weird thing is that I did book the part. And
I know, so
it has a very happy ending, except that then they found out it was fake. And then there was this whole thing about, well, should I go to rehearsal wearing the fake mustache? Should I tell them? It was very strange, and I don't know why it had to be so much drama. It's just a stupid fake mustache. Anyway, sorry. You know, it's been so much I've told that story, I wasn't able to get it out concisely, but there you have it.
Well, I loved it. I thought it was a great story.
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah, I don't want to take up any more of your time, but thank you so much. I love talking to you, and I would love to talk to you anytime you have something to get out there.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I guess maybe I should just say that the Space Station 76 is premiering in theaters in L.A. and New York this Friday, the 19th, and that it's going to be out worldwide on VOD, and you can watch it in the comfort of your own home starting the 23rd.
That sounds perfect. All right, Jack, thank you so much again.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it.